Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 307. And my guest today, offering her dream for us to explore and interpret, and then sharing her story, is embodiment coach, psychosomatic healer, former osteopath, and founder of the Seven Sisters Women's Wellbeing Festival, Lauren Woodman. Based in rural Victoria, Australia, Lauren is a lifelong explorer of both inner and outer worlds. She has spent decades studying healing, consciousness, embodiment, and human transformation. And after building and leading Australia's largest women's wellbeing festival for over 15 years, Lauren now supports women, particularly business owners, coaches, and healers, to reconnect with their bodies, understand and trust their inner knowing and body signals, and live from a deeper sense of authenticity, purpose, and freedom. So first up in our podcast today, Lauren shares her dream for us to explore and interpret. And as you know, I ask my guests to tell me nothing about the dream they choose until we start recording, as I know you enjoy unravelling the mystery alongside me. And exploring a dream with a guest on the podcast is a relatively light process compared to my private work with clients. On the podcast, we pick out some highlights, hint at some dream interpretation tips, and discover insights that feel safe and appropriate to share in public. Whereas if you book a session with me, we go deeply into your dream, uncover everything you need to know, relate it to your life, and if you wish, apply dream alchemy to shift beliefs and patterns that are limiting or blocking you, to help you move past stuck, to see solutions to problems, and get inspired about your next steps in life. To find out more about my services and courses, go to janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H, and the direct links are in the show notes. And if you haven't done my course, How to Interpret Your Dream Step by Step yet, today is your day. You can begin right now. The link is also in the show notes. Also a reminder that you can now watch The Dream Show on my YouTube channel. So let's go to rural Victoria and meet Lauren. Welcome to The Dream Show, Lauren.
Thanks, Jane. I'm really happy to be here.
Delighted to have you. Now, you're not in one of the big cities that our audiences can immediately relate to. Where are you?
Well, technically, I'm in the heart of Victoria, so about an hour and a half north of Melbourne, and I'm living on a 112-acre farm.
Beautiful. Is it yours?
Yes.
What do you have? Is it an animal farm or a plant farm?
Well, it's we farm festivals and have party animals. It's actually a festival venue.
Oh, good, because we're going to talk about that a lot after we've done your dreams. So it's good to know that you're in situ. Yep. Okay, Lauren, well, welcome, and I have no idea what your dream is, so off you go.
Okay, so I feel like I dream incessantly, vividly, every night. But one dream I thought I'd bring was one I had on Tuesday night, where I'll just give you a little vivid segment of it, because I feel my dreams last for hours. But within this particular segment, I was following this woman, and we were both carrying large urns, and she was leading me inside a cave, and there was like a deeper crevice for us to kind of go through. And I had this huge pot I was carrying, and I was like, oh, it was awkward to carry, and I felt like I'm going to have to readjust it to make sure I can get through this hole deeper into the cave. And when I started to put it down, I realized, oh, it's full of spiders. And I had a spider, kind of like a huntsman spider, which is like this big grey spider we get a lot in the Australian bush. It was kind of coming up my arm. So I put the pot down and I shook it off my arm, and I was okay about it. I'm pretty good with spiders. I was like, okay, there's one. But I was like, oh, there's probably another. And sure enough, I found a second. And I was quite neutral. And then I kind of shook something off my back. And then there was this big, thick, heavy tarantula type spider that just kind of dropped down. And then I was unnerved by that.
I'm not surprised.
And so I was like, oh my God, what is that? But I had the awareness in my dream to seek someone else out to see if they could see my blind spot. Because I'm like, if that was there and I didn't really know about it, what else is there?
Yeah.
And I saw a parent and a child like walking kind of down a street towards me. And I asked them if they could like have a look to see if I was carrying any spiders. And the little girl found a tiny spider. And I remember thinking, oh, is that it? And I turned around and this man was walking up towards us, and I was like, oh, be careful of the spiders, because I'd just shaken them all off my jacket. And he smiled at me and said, oh, my wife must have left them for me. And that was just such a peculiar experience or thing to say. And I was like, oh, but he's not for me. Or he seemed almost pleased or touched by it. And then I woke up, then I was going to go back into the dream again. But that was, I was like, oh, that's a good dream. Write it down, bring it to Jane. And
it's a wonderful dream. So just to be clear, he thought the spiders, the wife left the spiders for him, not for you.
Exactly. So I think she might have been the woman I was following into the cave.
Oh, okay. Right, okay. She was... And the woman you were following into the cave, anything else you picked up about her, like her age or her personality or anything?
Look, I felt quite neutral. She seemed like she was in her 50s and was just kind of focused on the direction we were heading.
Yeah. So there's a lot of reference to direction in your dream. You know, she was heading in that direction and was focused. And when you looked around for help, there just happened to be a woman and a daughter coming towards you. I think you said towards you or in your direction. Yes. And then after that, there was a man coming in your direction. So there's all these people actually, there's sort of a bit of a focus on direction.
Yes.
In there, which is quite interesting. Oh, okay. And the little girl, roughly how old would she have been, do you think?
I think she would have been about... 6 or 7?
Yeah. Because sometimes the age of a child in a dream can, sometimes it's not, but it can be a bit of a pointer towards something else that the dream's referencing. So in other words, if she's 6 or 7, she's been in your life, she's been in life for 6 or 7 years. So we may be referencing something that's 6 or 7 years old coming into play there, but maybe not. We'll just put that to one side. So first of all, you had the women coming towards you, and then it was a man coming towards you. So we've got kind of two points of view there, a sort of female yin point of view and a male yang point of view. But let's go to the very beginning. You said they were large urns. Did you say urns?
Yes, yeah. Large terracotta urns. And they were a little bit awkward to carry.
Yeah. Mm. So what would you normally use a terracotta urn for yourself?
I wouldn't, so that's why it's quite unusual. Right. It was like a large pot. I mean, you'd probably put a plant in it, but it felt like something that might have been storing water centuries ago.
Okay, like because of the shape, because it was an urn. Yeah. Yes. That's really interesting, because when you first mentioned urn, I mean, my personal mind went to, oh, like a burial urn, like it's with ashes. So I had to check that wasn't what it was with you.
Yes, no.
And then being on a farm, I was thinking, oh, it might have something to do with plants, but it needed to come from you. So it's a mix of plants, you know, and growth and new life, but it has that feeling of an ancient kind of time in it as well, particularly because of the earthenware and the... And yet it was heavy as well as awkward, I think you said.
Yeah, it was quite large. So, it's awkward to kind of hold, especially for long distances and crawling through a cave. So it was just...
Any idea? Was it empty or did it have something in it?
It was full of spiders.
Oh, sorry, that's right. Yeah. You knew it was full of spiders.
Well, when I put it down and then I realised...
You then looked in. But when you were carrying it, you had no idea what was in it. You might have thought it was empty or you just didn't know.
I just didn't know.
Yeah. No. Okay. And going into the cave, what kind of, Can you remember the kind of sense of the cave as you went in, apart from the awkwardness and the lip of getting into it, what kind of energy did the cave have?
Look, it felt peaceful. It felt look, there was no negative charge around it. It was just like, okay, we're going into this cave. And it was more seeing the slither of a crevice that we needed to get to deeper into the cave. It was like, oh, how we that was pitch black. And that was a bit of an awkward, gonna be an awkward climb through.
So it didn't have a sense of needing courage or not trusting or not being sure. You felt, even though it was awkward entrance, you felt okay about it.
I felt okay about it, yes.
And yet you're going into the dark.
Yeah, going into dark, I felt quite neutral. It was more like, what am I going to do with this pot? And this woman's already gone ahead of me. Like it didn't feel, I wasn't frightened.
And did you get a feeling that she knew more about where you were taking these urns than you did, and you were just kind of like following along, or did she, because she was quite focused?
Yeah, that's right. It almost felt like we'd walked the path before in a way, or she'd walked it many times. And it wasn't a brave new journey. It was like, okay, we're either carrying water or we're following a certain direction.
Yeah, I love that. So putting all that together, the beginning of a dream often kind of states the issue that the rest of the dream is going to go on and address. So you've got that sense there, combined with the fact that she kind of knew where she was going and she was focused, and you had a feeling of we've done this before, and the fact that the pots or the urns, you had a feeling had a connection back, were kind of ancient as well. You've got this sort of sense at the beginning of a dream of this is a journey I'm on that either I, Lauren, have done for a long time, or I, Lauren, have done going way, thousands of years ago in our own life, can be around about to birth. Our own life can be referenced as extremely long in dreams. So it could be that you've got the beginning of a dream feels like a journey that is ancient time within yourself, something that you've done over and over again. Or it can be the sense of a journey that you do know in your waking life is a sense of an ancient journey, like a ritual. So you've got that sense at the beginning of the dream. There is this journey. Part of me, the woman, part of me is really focused and kind of knows what she's doing because, yeah, we've sort of done this a million times before, haven't we? This is like built in. We know how to do this. And she's confident, and it's dark, so it's either uncertain, even though you've done it loads of times before, there's an uncertainty kind of aspect to it. But that's not putting you off. You're feeling quite neutral, like, yeah, I've walked into the unknown before. I can do this. This is easy. I can do this. But you're acknowledging also that, so she's a part of yourself that is focused and has done this before. The sense in the dream, you're sensing it from the perspective of you, the person you relate to most when you're awake, which is okay. There's a part of me that knows what I'm doing, and there's this part of me that's like, well, I feel neutral about it, but gosh, this is a bit awkward. It's a bit difficult this time around because this pot's really big. It's kind of difficult to embrace, difficult to get my arms around. Not so sure about this. So that's something in your life that relates to that, and it probably relates on many levels that relates to that kind of feeling. But there's a sense of getting over the lip. What, the lip into the cave? What kind of feeling did that lip into the cave? Did it remind you of any symbol or thing in waking life, the sense of getting over a lip into something?
Oh, there was this understanding of this is the direction we're going there. I remember thinking it was a little bit high, kind of going to be a bit awkward to get into. So I was just like, I can do it, but what am I going to do with this pot? So it felt like it required a little bit of consideration. And that's why it's like, well, maybe I need to put the pot down and then crawl in and then reach down to lift the pot up and through if I needed to take
Yeah, that's the thing, I think. Okay. So I love that, Lauren. I love that you, at that point in the dream, could see maybe I don't actually need the pot. This thing that I've done so many times before, this time maybe a little higher, maybe a bit more of a reach, maybe a bit more of a stretch. And I'm not entirely sure that what I've carried through with me before is appropriate or helpful at this stage. In fact, it might just be awkward and getting in my way. I may be better leaving this thing behind. or not having this. Nevertheless, you try it in the dream. You do make one last valiant effort. And it's kind of quite interesting that you're neutral. So you're either neutral because you actually don't have any fears or negative feelings about it, or you're neutral because there's a level of what I would call safe denial. You know, we won't think about that. We're just going to stay cool. Deep down inside, there may be all kinds of emotions, but hey, I've done this before. I'm just going to stay cool. Okay. So it's really good that whether or not you're going to take this pot ahead with you, it's really good that you do decide to actually have a look inside, see what it is. And that's one of the things that I really loved about your dream. You not only looked into the pot, but later when it was the tarantula, you actually got someone to tell you what this potentially awful thing could possibly be behind you, because I just need to know.
Yeah.
So you got that lovely sense of I'm not turning my back. I'm not turning my back on anything gross and horrible and frightening and huge.
Yeah.
I'm actually prepared to face whatever's there, because life goes better if I know what it is. So you got that lovely sense in that dream of, oh, I was going to say sense of groundedness, which is interesting because it was an earth and where pot, so it's got that groundedness kind of feeling in it. At the stage when you looked into the pot and saw the spiders, do you know where the other woman was, the one that you were following?
I think she'd already gone through.
Right, okay. So part of you was still wending the way. So it was almost like this path is going to happen anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. I just would prefer to know whether to take this thing with me or what this is that I'm carrying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, what's on my back? What have I allowed to spill over, and what can't I see?
Like, yeah, exactly.
There was the shock about seeing the tarantula, because I'm like, well, that's a much bigger, larger, scarier spider than I anticipated or was familiar with. And then it's like, well, what else is there? I need someone else to help me see my blind spots.
Which is absolutely wonderful. Really love that. But it's interesting that it built up slowly, that first of all, it was one huntsman spider. Yeah. People listening internationally that haven't seen a huntsman, they are huge. They are really, really big, and they're harmless, but they are big and they're fast.
Yes.
So first of all, it was like, oh, yeah, the one spider. Then it was, I think you said, I know there's going to be another one. There'll probably be another, you said. So there was a second before we got to the tarantula stage. So it's that kind of feeling.
Correct, yeah.
Which you often get in life, don't you? When there's something potentially frightening or scary looming, you kind of see shadows of it or bits of it before. Mm. And or maybe we allow ourselves to be neutral about the first sightings of something, the first feelings of something that could be frightening. We go, no, that's okay, I can cope with that. The second one, no, that's okay. Oh god, no, actually it's a bloody big tarantula. I'm not so okay with that. So it kind of shows the point at which you go yeah, no. And what did you say about the huntsman? I didn't write it down, but you said something about I'm okay with the huntsman.
I'm okay with the huntsman. I could just flick them off, and I'm like, yeah, okay, there's one, there's another.
That's right.
Then I flick something off my back that is like,
So as in life, we flick things off, or we flick things off, like, I don't know, meetings or projects, whatever, but we also flick fears off. That's okay. I can deal with that. But it's the one that you may not be able to see, the one that's behind you, the ones that you can see are manageable, aren't they? And it's interesting they were on both your arms, because people listening to audio version will have missed the fact that you showed me a spider on your left arm and then a spider on your right arm, so they were on each arm. And it was your arms that were doing all the work in the dream, holding that pot. And you said wrapping my arms around it or embracing it or holding it or something. So that's kind of really emphasizes that feeling of the effort of holding, but I can flick that off. I'm used to this. I'm used to carrying this weight, this burden. Yeah. I'm used to this, but what's that behind me?
Yeah.
And that was the first point at which you tipped over from neutral into a stronger emotion. You felt unnerved. It was a tarantula. And I love that even in the dream, you already knew this was a blind spot, because if you didn't say that in the dream, you know, all of us listening in would have been, it's a blind spot, it's behind you.
Yeah.
So you're looking at not only what's the what is my blind spot? I want to see my blind spots about this journey I'm undertaking, or this proposition that I've got, or whether or not to put this baggage down and continue without it. There's not only a blind spot, but there's also may or may not reference something in your past because it's behind you, which may or may not reference the 5 or 6 year old girl, something from 5 or 6 years ago that may or may not form part of this blind spot. Mm. Yeah. Because it's great that you, being the person you are, the very super aware person, then instantly want someone to have a look for you. So it's interesting that the woman and the 5 or 6 year old girl are the ones that happen to be coming towards you. Mm-hmm. So it's possible, once again, that something that happened 5 or 6 years ago is a part of yourself that may need to reference, is this something behind you that has grown to tarantula size in the meantime? Mm-hmm. Or is something that happened then that has created a kind of blind spot to you now? Anyway, they just, what do they do? She just says, oh, it's just a tarantula spider. Or what did she say? I can't remember.
Well, I asked them to have a look at me and see what, if there's any other spiders on my jacket. And she picked up a little spider and showed me, and I looked at it and I was like, oh, is that all?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So it wasn't a tarantula in the end. It just felt like it.
Well, there was a tarantula. I had knocked those three off me.
Okay. Right.
And I was like, bam, bam, bam. Then I was frightened by the tarantula and be like, what is there I cannot see?
What is it else? Okay.
I need someone else to see my back. And then when I was almost a little bit disappointed, almost, or when I saw she was only a little spider. Like, what, I've dealt with all those. You're telling me there's only this little one left. And that's it. I was expecting that there would be more.
Is there a part of yourself that really enjoys a challenge and really enjoys a bit of drama and can be disappointed when it's all dealt with?
Oh, look, I love the relief. I think maybe I was surprised that I had to deal with maybe the big spiders on my own.
Yeah.
And so when I sought help, it was for something
it
so small.
It became smaller, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the feeling in the dream that when something seems to be looming very large and maybe a blind spot, well, you dealt with the first one. I can deal with these big things by myself, but maybe this time, maybe my blind spot is that if I reach out and ask for help, the thing gets smaller. Is that all it was? Something can feel big and onerous and unnerving on itself, and I can deal with that because I can, because I'm Lauren. But if I get help, I can either help from another person, or you bring on board some kind of other way of life or approaching life that means that you don't take the whole burden on by yourself. Mm-hmm. Things get easier to manage. So there's a sense of you flicked off three things. So the dream was on Tuesday, and a dream is often, we'll get to the man in a minute, a dream is often processing your conscious and unconscious experiences of the last 1 or 2 days and then comparing them to any similar experiences in the past in order to, in an ideal world, wake up with a reset mindset to go forward the next day. So it's possible in that 1 or 2 days before that you either experience a sense of flicking off two things that didn't bother you and flicking off something really, really big, or that you got that sense of flicking off or anticipating things and your dream went back and went, yeah, well, in your life, you flicked off small things, you flicked off big things, but it definitely referenced three things, two small flicking offs and one big flicking off. Careful, not put the tongue twisters there. and then what's next? And finding it's just a small, easy one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then why did you want the man? Did you just want another point of view, or was he just coming towards you?
He was just coming towards me.
Right.
So I just turned around and he was there and I was like, oh, I should warn him about the spiders.
Right.
Because I had just flicked them off me and they were on the ground.
Yeah, on the ground again.
So I was like, I need to let him know that, you know, because they've taken them off me. And they were there.
So when you said that, you actually looked a little bit over your shoulder. Was he behind you in the dream? Did he come up from behind you?
He was behind. He was coming up from behind.
Right, okay.
And then I was wanting to warn him. Like, yeah. Oh, just, you know, watch your feet.
How old was he about?
He was probably in his late 40s.
Yeah.
Or early 50s.
Early 50s, yeah. Okay. So he may be a part of yourself. We went from the female point of view. And the female point of view was basically, well, you've dealt with three hard things, or you need to reach out for help. We can help you receive support from us and everything will be fine. And you then want to look at the male aspect, the how do I get this into the outer world, or whatever, however you perceive the male aspect. Mm. And he came up from behind. So it was almost like, in a sense, we had from behind the tarantula. Then once that was dealt with, the, is that all it is, a little one? And then mm-hmm. we've got the man himself. And sometimes in dreams, sometimes but not always, because every dream is unique, an animal in our dream will often represent an energy that is more unconscious, that is just coming up for us, but it hasn't come up sufficiently into our mind that it takes the form of a person.
Okay.
That people are more conscious, animals are more instinctive or energy feeling. So the fact that in your dream you went from, I know it feels really weird to call a spider an animal, but anyway, you went from great big tarantula animal to, is that all it is, animal, to human man. So we've gone from something, an unconscious energy, into a bit more conscious and handable, to really conscious about this now, man shape in the dream.
Mm.
So a lovely dream which actually captures that sense of becoming aware of something, becoming aware in this sense that something that was potentially really scary that you have dealt with in the past has actually kind of diffused. but you still want to give him the warning. There's still something could happen here. There might be more to this than meets the eye. And he's actually surprised us all because he's quite happy about the spiders. He thinks, tell us about the wife again.
he was just like, my wife must have left them for me in like a joyous kind of sweet, endearing way. And I was very perplexed by that because I was like, I was like, what, they're not for me, or they're not mine and you're happy about them?
Why she have given him a gift of spiders, or how did he perceive that?
I saw it almost as a gift of love.
A gift of love, okay. So let's spin, I hate to say spin because spiders spin, don't they? But let's spin that a little bit. Let's make it really, really general. A gift of love that many of us really don't want, but nevertheless it's a gift of love.
Yes.
It's a gift of something really scary or challenging that we have to face. And then we find out afterwards that it's not a big tarantula. It's actually something that's all it is. And it's actually a gift of love to find out that we don't have to carry this big thing anymore.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So a gift of love from the woman that was already knew where she was going, already had that kind of ageless wisdom that you suggested, was already focused. Mm. So the part of yourself that is ahead of yourself in many ways, going into the unknown, mm-hmm. has left you a gift of love, which is faces fears. I know you can flick off the biggest things, but face them, realize that they're nothing really. Keep the warning with you, but maybe you don't need to bring that all that stuff with you. It's the kind of, you know, the main feeling I get into the dream. Without going into it much more deeply, how does that ring with you?
No, that resonates for sure.
Can you don't have to say, because there's all these people listening, but can you relate it to something that's happening in your life at the moment?
Well, my life is definitely in flux and transition. I've just sold a business that I created and have been running for 15 years, and I'm in this transition space of unknown where, like, there are a few things in place. But there's a lot of spaciousness, and it's a bit uncomfortable because I am used to pressure and burdens and carrying things and storming ahead, knowing where I'm, where now the urgency shifted. I'm in a place of rest and reflection, and there are things now that I've slowed down that have been coming up from my subconscious for me to review and look at. And there has been some big, like some small things that I've been aware of and you flick off. And there has definitely been a like a deep core identity that I've uncovered, maybe tarantula-like.
Yes.
Which was quite surprising. And there has been also this desire to, you know, go seek assistance, go see various practitioners to help me see the blind spots at the moment. But realizing all in all, things are okay. Yes. And there's nothing too overwhelming. And it is, I guess, just that deeper journey of like the challenges are there to help my soul's unfoldment. And I guess in a way, return to greater love.
Yes. Yeah. So it fits perfectly with what's happening with you at the moment. Was there any part of the dream that gave you an extra insight into everything that you've just said, or that kind of or that embeds the part more deeply than others?
I think I think it was the man's reaction, and there was a sense of relief.
Yeah.
In the way that this actually wasn't so bad. You know, it was actually like his jovialness about it.
Yes.
He was quite light with it, the acceptance, the okayness.
Yeah.
Something that, you know, who wants large tarantulas on their back and they're carrying buckets of spiders, but it felt like it was all fine.
Yeah.
And in one way, a support. You know, this is,
Yes, I love that. So a level of recognition of the gift of love, of difficult times and challenging times, and acceptance of it, and the levity that he had, you know, which is part of the spiritual journey, isn't it? It's just getting lighter and lighter, and seeing the funny side of things, even when they're difficult, letting things drop away. So, you know, one of the many things you could do there once you've reflected. And the other thing was something that kind of compounds with what you say, and it was what I saw early on in it, is that sense of when I said to you, are you always disappointed when there's a challenge or a drama is over? Because, like, is that all it is? So being aware of that in this kind of rest period, rest and reassessment period, I'm not asking you these questions to answer, but to give you to contemplate, what is the role of drama and challenge in my life? How do I really feel when the drama and challenges drop away? What am I left with? Am I left with a gift or not? How do I feel about that? Do I want to bring challenges in? Do I not? Is this a space to think about and, you know, contemplate all of that? And then when you come out of that period and decide what you want and what you don't want, to decide, well, do you metaphorically want to take that pot of spiders with you? Do you want to take an empty pot with you? Do you want to take a pot filled with something else inside you? Do you want to take no pot? Do you want to put that down? And kind of work out metaphorically how you want to move ahead from now around that pot, and then create a dream alchemy, which would be, long story short, would be a visualization of being in the dream and doing whatever you have decided to do with that pot, or painting it, or drawing it, or writing a story about it, or just working with that symbol in a way that transforms either the symbol itself, the urn, or what you do with it. You could do dream alchemy with any part of a dream or any symbol. It feels to me that that's the one, particularly because it's so ancient, has an ancient feeling, like something's been with me, Lauren, for a long time, that I'm now not so sure that it's awkward in my life. How do I want to change this thing as I go forward? So to work it awake, not asleep, obviously that would be really hard to do unless you were lucid dreaming, but to awake, work with that symbol and transform it. And the more you transform it to represent how you want to move forward, you're communicating with your unconscious mind, you're speaking to it using your unconscious mind's language. Your unconscious mind said, this is the language of what's awkward to carry, great big urn full of spiders. So you're going, this is how I want to see it. And as you visualize that, it's reprogramming or rewiring your unconscious mind to see it differently. Mm-hmm. And so on and so forth. So that's where we'd go from that. It was a beautiful dream. And I appreciate that you said it was a part of a longer dream, but it was absolutely brilliant. So is there anything else you wanted to ask or say about the dream before we move on to talk about what's else that's happening in your life?
No. I loved hearing the insights and the parallels. And also really appreciate the ideas of how to better work with it and the symbolism.
Yeah, the dream alchemy. That's really lovely. Thank you. Yeah. There's lots and lots to talk about, and I think because we've already talked a little bit about the farm that you're on and the festivals, and you've said you're taking a rest and relaxation and reappraising stage at the moment. I think that's what we all want to hear about first. So I have introduced you in the beginning about the Women's Wellbeing Festivals, which you ran for 15 years and have just sold. So can you give us a bit of a backstory? Not only what it is, but how it started, when you had the first idea of, oh, I think I'll do a women's festival. What was behind all of that? How it happened, when the farm came into it?
Oh, absolutely. Well, originally I'm a trained osteopath, and the idea of going into events or festivals was just very far from my mind. But I had at that time, it was early 20s, I had started going to certain outdoor festivals and events, and I was so inspired by the creativity and how open and playful people were in this kind of environment. It felt like I was witnessing adults kind of really be their most joyous, free, authentic selves. And I was very, very touched by, I guess some of the festivals would have a bit of art and a bit of healing and a few random workshops on the side, but predominantly be music-based. But I was really drawn to the workshops and the healing and the art. And I was like, I'd love to be involved in a festival at some point. And during that time, I'd also been doing a lot of women's work, women's circle work. And it had such a big impact on me, how I related to my body and understood my hormones and my cycles and, our correlations with nature. And being in that space and connecting with women was very transformative. And I really wanted that experience to be more accessible. And this is at the time before Facebook and online courses were a thing. It felt like this information was quite inaccessible. And I was like, well, I'd love to create this on a larger scale and bring a whole bunch of women together and gather all these great teachers, and in one weekend people can kind of curate their own experience based on their interests. And I was very naive and very enthusiastic.
Aren't we
And
all at the beginning of things?
oh yeah, and I was like, well, I just need to find a venue and pick a date and build a website. And I just kind of followed the ball. And I just told everyone about it. And I met people and they're like, I'd love to do a store, or I can bring my food truck, or I'll work in your healing village. And I just basically said yes to whoever came along. And I had so many people tell me, like, Lauren, you can't run a festival on that budget, or this isn't possible. And I had a lot of things, just synchronicities fall in place that actually made it possible. And we had 350 women come to the first event.
Fantastic.
And then the next year, 700, and then 1400. And I had to cut back on my osteo work because it just kept growing and asking more of me. And 15 years later, I felt also that the energy shifted, well, probably a couple of years beforehand. And I was very much recognizing that, oh, this isn't actually in alignment anymore. And that
With
was
you or with the way the world is now or
with me. And it leading something like that carries so much heart and dedication and focus with any business. And when I was very truthful with myself, I felt that there'd been a shift. And it was the creation of my 23-year-old self. And I very much wanted to support these like transformational spaces. And I guess at that time when I was 23, I didn't feel I had a lot to offer personally that I could organize and coordinate. And over time it felt like it led more to spreadsheets and logistics and permits and councils. I'm quite removed. And I'd personally been orientated to being more present and focused on my whole year focused on 4 days and all this future planning and all this strategy. And it's very different. And I had over the last 5 years been doing one-on-one work that really just felt so right and ignited my soul in a way that this is where my energy should be. And yeah. That's how I started one-on-one work with the osteopathy.
Did that just, so that was people booking you because you were cutting down your number of hours and you became rare and they really wanted you?
No, I ended up, my work started shifting a little bit. And I had a friend ask me to run a workshop and in her living room. She's like, I'll bring friends, but can you please do this? You've got something that I really want to understand.
Yeah.
And I hosted one and it went, just streamed out. It was fantastic. And then it was just word of mouth for the next 5 years with clients. And so I never had a website or had anything, but it's just been something on the side that I loved.
And what were you doing in those workshops, Laura?
So those workshops in particular, it was a lot to do with understanding your deeper core needs and how we would go out to express them, the dynamics where they play out in relationships, and looking at how when certain core wounds are not met, you have a susceptibility to fall into certain relationship dynamics. Yeah. And when you can be mindful about it and learn to meet those needs yourself, there's more choice. People often get intoxicated when they first meet someone and all those core needs are being met and they're willing to overlook everything. But it's often not sustainable, but the childlike parts come out, and we're kind of looking at ways where, you know, you can identify if your like regressed child is playing out in the relationship, or maybe it's the teenager who's being like manipulative, or like, if I give you, you'll do this, and quite strategizing, or whether they can actually be in their adult and have recognition of what's going out and be able to clearly ask to have their needs met. Yeah. Without the expectation whether they can ask and listen and be able to still meet those needs themselves.
Yes.
But they'll be just building that awareness and kind of mapping out, I guess, someone's internal architecture about their wounding and their patterns.
Yeah.
And having that awareness helps them tend and fill their own cups, you know, so they're not walking around begging.
That's absolutely beautiful. Mm. And did your training for that grow through your osteopathy business, or were you training on something on the side, or was it a natural gift?
Look, I've been doing intensive self-development study and
for so long, for archaeological timescales.
You know, I do 4 different retreats a year. I've been all kinds of courses. But I do have, it has been developed from my osteopathy, is that I very much learned how to tune and read the body and read the emotional field. And through reading the emotional field, I was very attuned to identifying patterns within people and the dynamics that would play out.
Yes.
So it helped me kind of create a framework and a better understanding.
So for you, was the osteopathy one of the gifts along the way that actually taught you what you need to know to do what you're moving on to do, in the sense of reading the energy and reading the body? Or is it something that you're going to take forward with you in little bits, the osteopathy?
Look, I think what it gave me was a very deep appreciation for the body and the systems and anatomy and the foundations. We studied psychology and neuroanatomy and really understanding the body as a whole. Osteopathy is quite a beautiful practice and it's very holistic in its foundation. It always wants to treat the whole, look at the whole.
Yeah.
And I've kind of moved away from more hands-on work, but what I am still quite attuned to is reading people's fields.
Infinity, yeah, that's really lovely.
Yeah.
It's not related, but I'll mention it because it kind of is. In the dream, I didn't mean to reference dream again, in the dream you've got the earthenware pots, which with the earth is not a big stretch from bones.
No.
And that sense of hands-on on the urn in the dream, and as you were saying, the hands-on work of osteopathy, that you're moving away from the hands-on to the not hands-on. So there just may or may not be that reflection in the dream too. Yeah. I love that. What a journey. And so interesting that you that you went from that osteopathy work to, and everything that gifted you, to doing that totally business, or what was that, 361 days of the year, planning for 4 days of the year, totally out there, completely different. And yet perhaps apart from congratulations, a huge thing that you achieved, what was it, Australia's or the world's largest, or what's
women's
the
women's festival, yeah,
the world's largest women's festival for 15. I mean, that was a huge thing. What, why do you think, apart from the gift that you gave everyone through that festival, what did it give you that you're now going through this period of rest apart from the word of mouth work that you've got to reassess? In that reassessment, what did that give you in terms of moving ahead with your next steps in your life now?
Sorry, could you rephrase that?
When you look back on, particularly on the last 15 years of running the festival before you solved it, what do you think its gift was? What do you think its purpose was in blessing what you are now moving forward to do?
Wow. look, it's really brought everything up to the surface. I've been challenged in so many ways that I never would have expected. It's shown me all of my areas of vulnerability where I could step up more. It showed me all my patterns. So I felt like it brought all my childhood lessons and amplified them under intense pressure with thousands of people and high stakes, and really mirrored to me the areas where I could let go, where I could grow, or my pattern. It also very much challenged my capacity. I felt like each year I had to keep stretching, had to keep learning. Every year brought something new, something different, and there was a lot of persistence and steadfastness. When I got to the stage of letting it go, I there was also a 2-year period before I could find the right person to hand it on to.
Oh yes.
And so that was a journey in itself.
So it was a bit of a tarantula of a business with great gifts in it. but also, congratulations. That's hard to do when you are so invested in something as you were, as you said, that, each year was a new challenge and you wanted to keep on going. You had this thing that you wanted to keep on going for everybody else. And then I guess you had this decision, do I just make it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger for the rest of my life? Or do I say, this is where I get off and do something else? And that is, for someone that's very dedicated and focused, I guess like the woman in the dream at one point, that can be such a big step to take. So congratulations for taking that. And congratulations too for choosing then not necessarily to jump into something else, but to take time out to. How long have you been in this kind of fertile, restful space?
It's just been 2 months, so it's still quite fresh.
Good.
It's still been handover, and life still has things happening. But there's just the pressure's been relieved, and I felt a sense of just completion.
That's
and
so lovely.
It really, I think the last year especially really helped me just tide up any remaining loose ends, things I needed to reflect, things I needed to let go. And people are asking, it's like, oh, do you regret it? Do you miss it? And it's like, I can't explain the level of completion that I feel.
That's beautiful. You must have done beautiful work in order to feel that sense of completion, which is really lovely. Are you going to stay in the house on the farm?
Yeah. So that was one of the transitions. We got a permit to host other festivals on the land. So I'm still tending to the land. I've just bought 500 trees to plant. And we're, still kind of creating a beautiful venue that can support other event holders and for the festival to continue, Seven Sisters Festival, to continue being here.
That's really wonderful.
So that's happening. And like, it's interesting feeling into the tides or feeling where are the currents, where is it leading you? And the moment it's just very clear that this is just rest, this is just integrate. And it's a different feeling to feel the truth of that when there has been so much drive and so much holding.
Yes, what do I do with this? What do I do with life when I don't have the sense of drive and holding? I think you said to me that although we're actually recording this a couple of months before it goes out, you did say to me before we started that you're building a website. So although you're still now as we're speaking in your fertile period, do you have a sense of what you're going to be expressing on that website that people who are listening now will be able to access? Maybe if you finish it, I'm sure you will. Or are you still letting, do you want to talk about that now, or is that still all falling into place?
Oh no, look, there is clarity. I've been working for 5 years with generally a lot of what I call highly sensitive women and business owners. Those who are wanting to understand, to be able to read their body and their kind of ego architecture and understand what are the drivers that are playing out in their business and their relationships, and giving them a little bit more autonomy and sovereignty in the way they intentionally choose to act and want to show up. So I tend to work long term with people, and it's basically cultivating their ability to read their body somatically and to release. And it provides such a level of confidence in knowing, which I found has been hugely transformative to my life. It's really supportive for those who are in business or wanting to bring that next level of consciousness in their relational patterns.
I love that, and I love the sense that you're working with them long term, so you are there as their guide, but your ultimate aim is not to have them as a client forever. It's to teach them how to listen to their own body and learn, and gradually, I guess, go off on their own, but be there as that supportive person throughout there, and their coach and their guide, which is really, really lovely. And I love the way there too that you're bridging the difference between the big world work, like your big 15 years, and what that's built upon, what the conscious the level of what's happening unconsciously within the person, and bringing that into consciously, balancing the inner world and the outer world, bringing them into I guess alignment's the word, so that the person is running their business consciously from an authentic point of view. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, part of how I work is I'm able to read the field. I can feel how energy blockages, I can feel the structure of certain like ego identity parts. And so it's the marrying and the reflection and the supporting them to be able to identify it within themselves that can be really helpful when you can to unblend and
Beautiful.
to have that space. So it's very, very satisfying. And I just find that there's a level of awareness and confidence that my clients tend to embody that they can then carry with them into their next stages.
So, is that work, with reading the energy fields, for example, is it work that you are more comfortable doing face to face, as in physically, or can you do it over Zoom? For just thinking for people listening that may want to work with you.
Oh, I mostly work over Zoom, but it's amazing what you can pick up in the field and the thought forms and
Oh, I'm just thinking. What forced us all onto Zoom was COVID, really, wasn't it? And it's 2026 now, so that was what, 2020. So that's six. Your little girl in the dream was 5 or 6 years old. So
That's
I don't
right.
know whether that relates.
Well, that certainly was a challenging period
It
because it was
was.
legal to run festivals and I had just purchased the farm and had a lot of financial pressure with
What did you do? What happened?
well, we had to pivot online. And so these are just some of the and ran an online festival and worked out how to make things work. But
How
that
did an
definitely
online festival work?
Well, we ran Zoom workshops and we had like an online market stall place. So all the market stalls had a little online
Oh, brilliant.
stall and could direct them to their websites with discounts. And we had healers and psychics doing online reading sessions that they'd book in with people. And it was quite successful, worked quite well.
Was one of the big challenges that you hadn't set out to invite into your life.
No, it certainly wasn't. It certainly wasn't. So, but just learning to trust and to pivot.
That big 2020s word, pivot.
True.
So what is the website address for people listening to go along and find out more about you?
They can go to drlaurenwoodman.com.
Drlaurenwoodman, all one word, .com.
All one word.
Yeah. And I'll put that link in the show notes as well.
Fantastic.
Well, I know we've only just scooped into a tiny weeny bit of your amazing life, but it's been great, and the dream was a lovely one to explore with you. And I have to say to people listening in, if you go and see the YouTube, we've only been doing the visual version of it, Laurence, for this year. The show's been going for 17 years.
Amazing.
But so most of our audience are still over on audio because that's what they're used to, you know, on Spotify and Apple. But I'm gradually saying, come across and have a look. So if you come across and you have a look, you see Lauren's lovely background with all the plants and the greenery, which kind of just emphasised, your background emphasised everything that we've been talking about so beautifully, and it looks so calm and tranquil and growing. So thank you for being a lovely guest and for bringing your dream, Lauren.
Thank you, Jane. Appreciate that.
It's lovely, isn't it, to always be reminded of the importance of taking time out. You know, you finish one big job, you finish a project, you finish a way of being, you finish a business, you finish a relationship. And instead of jumping into the next thing straight away, taking that time out, as Lauren has done, to reflect, to integrate the gifts, to take the pause, to allow things to come to you, and to create that picture and that steadiness and that readiness to go on and birth whatever it is you're going to go and do. So that was a lovely example of that, as well, of course, as the beautiful dream that we explored there, and hearing all about Lauren's life in the past and where she's heading to now. So a reminder of how you can get in contact with Lauren or learn more about her, and her website address is drlaurenwoodman.com. That's drlaurenwoodman, all one word, .com, and you'll find the link in the show notes. You might also like to explore the many ways I can help you with your dreams. You might like to book a dream alchemy session, a nightmare relief consultation, or take a 10-week dream therapy journey with me. Or you might like to take the next step in mastering the art, science, and alchemy of working with your dreams over at the Dream Academy. And you can find your way to all of these through my website at janetheresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. Or follow the links in the show notes. Thank you, as always, to Ewan Gray for sound editing, video editing, and composing our beautiful theme music. And thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. Please do share it with people, and please do follow if you haven't followed until now. Until next time, have a beautiful day. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.